today's front page drama, Spawn of Circumstance, is featuring Charles Warburton in the role of Frank Martin. This is the third in the series of front page dramas and is adapted from true life stories appearing in the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Spawn of Circumstance was produced in the New York studios of the General Broadcasting Company.
Looks as if she'd been strangled by her own belt.
Now, you say she was dead when you found her, eh?
Just as she is now, Constable. That's the way she was when I opened the door to the shop.
Well, I'll have to make my report. Now then, what's her name?
Well, I don't know, Constable. I never saw her before in my life.
Oh, you didn't, eh? Well, what's your name?
Martin. Frank Martin.
Frank Martin. Address?
Number 7, Tewkesbury Lane, West.
Tewkesbury Lane, West. Now then, occupation?
Plasterer. You see, Constable, it was like this. I was sent
here... Half a mo. One thing at a time, me man. Occupation? Plasterer. Now then, let's hear what you've got to say for yourself.
Well, 4 days ago, I was sent here to this unoccupied shop by the renting office. They wanted the walls replastered before they offered it to new tenants.
Here, 4 days ago?
Yes.
Anybody with you at that time?
No, I come alone. The renting office gave me the keys. I let myself in and did the work.
Was here alone. Very good. What next?
This morning, the office rang me up and said there was some more work to be done. And they gave me another set of keys.
Another set, eh?
Yes.
Oh, and whatever happened to the first one?
Oh, just as I was leaving the place, when I'd finished the work 4 days ago, a man came up to me and presented an order from the office. It said that I was to give him the keys, as he was a possible tenant and wished to look the place over. I gave him the keys and went down.
I see. Now, what next?
Well, today, I come directly from the renting office, opened the door, found this, and went for you.
Directly you found the body, eh?
That's right, Constable.
Well, very good. Now then, my man, I must ask you to come along with me.
Oh, say, you don't think I did this?
Well, it's too early to form any opinion. But you'll have to come with me.
Well, what for? I've told you all I know about it.
Well, the inspector will want to ask you a few questions.
Yes, but Constable, I tell you, I never saw this girl before in my life, and I didn't kill her.
Then you've nothing to worry about.
But
in England, my man, nobody was ever hung for a murder he didn't commit.
And thus started one of the strangest dramas ever connected with a British murder case, which Front Page Dramas now present for your entertainment under the title of Pawn of Circumstance. Frank Martin was held until after the coroner's inquest, and although the circumstantial evidence pointed to him as a murderer, the Crown was unable to find the one link that would make the chain complete. So he was released from custody. Now, some months later, we find him with his wife in the Liverpool Street Railroad Station.
Goodbye, Charlie.
You know, it hardly seems true, Frank. At last, you're free to leave London.
Yes, Jenny. Free to leave London.
These past months have been a nightmare.
They have.
People pointing at you and whispering behind their hands. Women getting frosty as soon as they've earned minimum. Aren't you the wife of the man in the Soho murder, they say? They'd like to slap their faces.
Well, it's a jolly good thing you didn't. It would only have meant more publicity. I've had enough of that, my girl.
I know, Frank. If only they hadn't printed your picture in the papers.
Yes, that's been the trouble. If they hadn't, I'd have got away with it.
Got away with what?
Oh, the whole blinking business. Finding the body and all. People forget names soon enough. It's faces that sticks in their minds.
Frank.
What is it, old girl?
Look at me.
Well?
You didn't have anything to do with it. The killing, I mean.
Now, haven't I told you just what happened when I went into the shop?
Yes, you've told me that.
Oh, then let's forget the whole thing, Jenny. I want to forget it all. It's past and done with.
Yes, that's true.
I've got a job waiting for me in Glasgow. As soon as we're on this train, London, our former friends and neighbors, everything will be wiped out. Nobody will have heard of me. We can make new friends. We can start all over again. Don't you see, Jane?
I think I do.
Why, now, what do you mean, old girl?
Nothing. Have you got your tickets ready?
Yes, right here. Two little pieces of cardboard. But to me, they mean escape.
Escape?
Once we get to Glasgow, everything will be hunky-dory.
Yeah.
Come on now. You mustn't feel that way. I know it's hard on you, leaving all your friends and all that.
I'm not thinking of them, Frank.
From now on, we're starting all over again. I'll be away from it all.
Frank. Mr. Martin. Listen to me.
What is it?
Is he looking for you, Frank?
For me? Well, who'd be sending me a wire, I'd like to know.
Frank, you don't suppose...
It's the police? No. They said I was free to go, didn't they? More than likely, it's not for me. I'm not the only Martin in London.
You'd better make sure it's not for you.
Oh, all right, very well. Boy, boy, over here. I'm Martin.
Frank Martin?
Yes? Give me the wire.
What does it say, Frank? You look sick.
You're not going to Scotland, Jenny.
We're not. Why? What happened?
This wire says that they've just learned I'm the man connected with the Soho murder. So they can't use me in their employ.
Oh, Frank. What are you going to do?
Oh, this is the end, Jenny. There's only one thing left for me to do.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you? By God, blimey, it's Mr. Martin.
Yes, it's me, all right.
I thought you'd been and gone from here ages ago. What's on your mind now?
I'd like to see the man in charge here.
You're seeing of him now.
You?
Me. Sergeant Tompkins. At your service. I've been and gone and got promoted, I have.
It would have to be you.
Yeah, now, what's all this about?
I mean, you were in at the start, so I suppose it's only fair that you should be in at the finish.
The finish and start of what?
Sergeant, I've come to give myself up.
Again? Lord love you, Mr. Martin. Ain't you been told time and time over we ain't got no definite evidence to arrest you?
Well, you have this time. I'm here to confess to the murder of Myrtle Lovemore.
God blimey. Well, we always thought so.
And I want a quick trial.
Evening papers carried the startling headline that Frank Martin had at last confessed to the Soho murder. Trial was speedily set, and the wheels of justice began to turn. As the curtain of the next scene rises, it discloses famous Old Bailey, where the Crown has presented its apparently airtight case. The defense has called its one and only witness, the prisoner, and after swearing him in, has surprised the courtroom by turning him over to the prosecution without any direct examination. We now hear the counsel for the Crown questioning the prisoner in the dock.
Mr. Martin, you were the first person to discover the body of Myrtle Lovemore, is that correct?
It is.
Now, you have admitted that you were in that Beacon shop 4 days before the body was found, and that you were alone. Is that also correct?
Yes, sir.
And you know that the Crown has presented testimony from the coroner to the effect that the girl had been dead 4 days when found.
I do, sir.
You stated in previous testimony, taken at the coroner's inquest some months ago, that you finished your plastering and left the shop in question and went directly to your lodging. Is that correct?
It is, sir.
Now, Martin, what time was it when you arrived at your lodging?
4 o'clock.
And it has been proved that your lodgings can be reached without haste within 15 minutes. Yet you took 1 hour. Why were you so long in getting home on the day in question?
Oh, I wasn't in any hurry. I'd finished my work sooner than I expected, and loitered a bit, looking into shop windows.
Is that all you stopped for?
I stopped to listen to a soapbox orator for a few minutes.
Anything else, detain you?
Yes. 2 men started a fight on the street, and I stood around until they were separated.
Now, Mr. Martin, you have stated in previous testimony that when you left the shop, you turned the keys over to a man who presented an order from the renting office. You swear to the truth of that?
I do.
And you say you glanced at the paper alleged to have come from the renting office?
Yes.
Then perhaps you can tell us what name was written on it.
I don't remember. I only glanced at the signature of the note.
You don't remember?
No, why should I? I'm not a member of the renting office staff.
It would certainly look better for your future, Martin, if you had taken a little more notice of that authorization. Because no authorization was issued by the renting office.
I object, my lord.
Objection overruled.
Martin, you made an appointment with Myrtle Lovemore for 3 o'clock the day of the murder, didn't you?
No.
But you did see her passing by and called her into the shop, didn't you?
No.
Oh. Then she was there to meet somebody else. Somebody who failed to show up, and you happened to be there. Is that it?
No.
Martin, why are you lying?
I'm not lying.
You know you are.
I'm not lying, I tell you.
Then why don't you tell us how you killed Myrtle Lovemore?
I didn't kill her.
You didn't kill her?
No.
But I hold here in my hand a free and voluntary confession of the crime, written by you and signed by you. You did write this, didn't you?
Yes, I wrote it.
Martin, I said a few moments ago that you were lying. You denied it under oath. Yet you were lying. If this confession was written by you, then you killed Myrtle Lovemore.
I wrote the confession, yes. But the whole thing is a lie. I did not kill that girl.
Prisoner in the dock, please clear up this matter. Have you falsified any statements made or presented here today?
My lord, for 18 months, I've waited for this moment. I've been looked upon with suspicion by friend and police alike. My wife has tried to be loyal to me throughout this terrible time. I've asked for a trial over and over again, but counsel for the Crown has refused to bring it.
Order in the court, please. Prisoner in the dock, what do you mean?
I mean that confession which the eminent counsel holds in his hands there...
My lord.
Prisoner, you mean to say that you repudiate this confession?
I do, my lord. I made it only to force a trial and establish once and for all my innocence.
Mr. Counsel for the Crown.
Yes, my lord.
Are you prepared to prove this confession is true?
No, my lord.
Prisoner, it is the first time in the experience of this court that such a trick has ever been perpetrated in a high court of justice.
I regret it, your lordship, but I ask you, what would you have done in my case?
Prisoner in the dock, arise and face your peers. Yes, sir. Gentlemen of the jury, look upon the prisoner. If the confession is repudiated in court and the Crown is unable to prove it true, it is your duty to return a verdict of not guilty. Gentlemen, I ask you to do so at once.
We do. Not guilty, my lord.
I'm free and proved innocent at last?
You are.
Oh, Frank.
Thank God. Thank God. Oh, Jenny.
And thus a clever man managed to clear his name by an ingenious method to bring about justice rather than hinder it. Read the interesting details in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly under the title of Confess to Murder So He Could Prove His Innocence. The American Weekly is a magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. This is Wentworth announcing. Your own announcer will now give you further details of the many interesting articles and stories appearing in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly magazine.